And how much you need? $1,000. Oh, $1,000. What do you need? $1,000. Go get a job. How come you have 10 children? This and this, you know, you give them the business. And the person at the end, all right, I'll give you the money. Leave me alone. Don't bother me. Here's the money. Don't bother me. When an individual gives tzedakah that he's not really expected, he didn't expect to give it, he's frustrated. And even though he may smile and may be nice, there's a degree of frustration in giving tzedakah money that you really did not plan, expect to give. A tzedakah fund, you know, you're a shul, part of being a member of the shul, you know, you pay your membership dues and you give for most schitim and you do that. It's part of the routine. There is less frustration and pain in the money that is coming from that, the money that was given to that fund.
And it's impersonal.
It's impersonal, but it's more than impersonal because no, you can hold. That's not the point that he's making. That's what I would think. It's impersonal, so there's no barrier. Giving stock, it's better that you should not know who's getting the money, and the one that gets the money should not know who gave him the money. That's what you would expect the Sefer Chasidim to say, but that's not what he says. He has a whole new twist. And he says, how frustrated and upset was the giver of this tzedakah? So if you're in a shul, and every year for the last 20 years, as part of my, part of the routine, mo'ez chitim, I write out a check $1,000. That's part of the routine. And the money is distributed by the rabbi, whoever's in charge, by the gabbai, to the people that need the money. The person is not, adarabba, I'm a Jew, I'm proud to give tzedakah. When someone knocks on your door, you're unexpected, you're overwhelmed with the bills and this and this, more tzedakah. All right, I'll give you the tzedakah. You're frustrated. That frustration makes a world of a difference for the person who receives the money. How does all of this work? I have no idea, but in Shamayim, it's different, and it's never a good thing in this world to make another person feel uncomfortable in any way whatsoever, even giving tzedakah. He writes here, Kisha Adam Tzar Nitzchach Min Abrias, Im Yochel Lasas, if he's able to do so, maybe a lot of tircha, to run around to every rabbi, very hard to even they'll answer the phone and to get a hold of them and go to. I remember my father used to give it a lot in the shul. My father's shul, the Yonge Avenue J. It was a tremendous chesed that went on there. They collected an enormous amount of money. My father raised a lot of money and they gave out a lot of tzedakah. My father was very surprised. Like people who come, like, aren't there other shuls that do the same thing and collect, you know, they have funds and they raise money from the balabatim, and like a lot of times, not nearly as much as they do here. And this shul is a teeny little shul relative to some of these very, very big shuls. So it's very hard to go get money from funds, from different tzedakah funds. It's better to go and collect from the tzedakah fund small amounts from every fund to reach your goal than to go to one person. Look at this reason. Don't go to private people and ask for money. The people who funded the tzedakah fund had no pain in doing so. They gave with generosity. This is what they do. When you go to a private person and say, I need money, Shema, I only call Shema, maybe, it's almost a certainty, Tsa'ur, interesting way he used the word Tsar. I never read this a word like this. Tsa'ur, it means pain. It's like a verb form of the word.
The bigger mitzvah to give tzedakah where there's pain for you, there is no pain?
That is from the person who gives. We're focusing on the person who's taking.
You
don't have a right to cause someone pain. The one that has the pain giving, between him and Hashem, he'll certainly receive a lot more reward because he had pain in giving the money. But that's not your business. The recipient, the poor person, has no right to go and go cause another person pain. Shema tzur al hadavar, the giver will have pain. Hadavar shema itzi midei. Poshut. Now, what does that mean over here? Shemoitzi midei poshut. I don't know what that means. I think what it means is that he has to pay out of nowhere. whatever it means. Because the person that's giving the money is having pain, is frustrated, because he did not expect this to happen. I did not plan on giving this tzedakah. It's like he's taking out his blood. When you go to a person and you ask him for a donation and the person does not want to give a donation and he's just giving because he is embarrassed, it's like you're extracting blood from him. Now, by the way, that's the only way it works in the generation that we live in. What is an appeal in shul? That's what it is. You basically shame everyone into giving money. So this Baal Baz is giving $1,000 and they're going around the shul. How much are you giving?
$36.
So you want to give the money? You don't want to give the money? Okay. Unfortunately, kachi darkai shalolam, it's a hold up. Okay, now with high tech, with all, you know, you become an ambassador and you get, you know, and everything is public and you get an email in the social media and they call you up. We have a you know, charity.com and this one, all these different websites. It works. And what is the technique? You put unbearable pressure, unbearable public pressure and shame on people. It works for me. I don't have a big.
A lot of people pledge money, it goes to shame, and they can't afford it. They end up not paying it.
So that's the new technology. In order to get your name there on the. You got you go to shul. If you make an appeal in shul,
it's a credit card.
You make an appeal in shul, then you're right. People pledge, they don't pay. That's a terrible affair. But all of these online social media charities, which are incredibly successful, your name is not going on the list with your sponsorship unless the credit card goes through. Okay, so you don't have a choice. The money is actually going to be paid. And it says over here, now you know, when he's writing over here, you know, Sefer Chassidim 700 years ago, is very idealistic. You know, don't put too much pressure on a person to give tzedakah. Don't squeeze him. Unfortunately, in this generation, if you don't squeeze the person, you're not getting anything. And people are going to be in a lot of trouble. So where's the balance? I don't know where the balance is, but these are ideas that are a springboard for discussion. Now, he challenges him on his own self. He says, Virava, in the Gemara, we have stories. I don't know the stories. I don't remember the stories, but with stories where Amoroyim, they squeezed people. They forced them. They forced them to give money in all different ways, all different techniques. So they should give money. Virava shahoya ma'aseh. Ma'aseh means to force a person to give tzedakah. V'doichek sheyitein. Oh, isn't this a contradiction to what I am saying now? The answer is that there are exceptions. There are certainly situations where there are people that are super duper wealthy and it's just not fair what they're doing, and whoever the leaders of the community are have a power and right. There are exceptions. V'rav, don't challenge me from the story of Rav and Bava Basra. That was exceptional. Oiso hoya oshir, that person was very, very wealthy and he was supposed to give, and Rava just made him do what he was supposed to. Aval ha'odam atzmo lo yitochen sheyaseh, but a regular person who's not on the level of an oshir, there's a regular person, it's not correct to force him. The word sheyaseh means the sin. It's not correct to force a person to pressure him to give more than he wants to give. Number two, he says another rule. Once a person already gives, and this is a very interesting thing over here, people should learn from this. After a person already gives the money, you don't go and say, maybe you can give a little bit more, maybe you can give a little bit more. That is not correct. Many times, you have Chinese auctions. Someone told you, you have a Chinese auction, and a person wins, and let's say the raffling off Sefer Torah. The raffling off something, and someone wins the raffle. Oh, so they won the raffle. So that means that the yeshiva, the institution, has to go. They promise they're going to go buy him a $50,000 Sefer Torah. $50,000, that was a raffle. So it wins the raffle, $50,000 Sefer Torah. They go to him, you know, we're going to give you the Sefer Torah, don't get it wrong. You know, maybe a Sefer Torah. You know, this is a Torah institution. Maybe you could contribute $10,000 to the Sefer Torah. You'll save us $40,000.
They do that?
They don't do that? That's the way it works. You would any raffle, a lot of these raffles, Oh, you won the raffle, but you know, it's a Torah institution, maybe you can be moichel, or maybe you can contribute, or maybe... Whatever it is,
give
give it back. You know, so he says right here, wrong. That's not nice. You don't do that. You don't do that. That's not the way. When a person gives tzedakah, when you have a system, you have. And all, when you have a system in place, once a person makes a pledge. Okay, I told you another different type of example. Let's say a person makes a pledge. You hold him up in shul. Okay, mos chitim. How much are you giving? $1,000. And then, when he comes, you know, the extractor called, pledge $1,000, wow, you know.
Maybe make another
$500, you know. You know how to do that. If a person pledges tzedakah, you're not allowed to go and say, you know, you're such a nice pledge. Once?
No.
Once?
Sure. The guy came out collecting, and they gave him what everybody, so maybe you can give him more. I said, you know what, give me back the original.
Okay, so he says, but before he makes the pledge, he says, though, if you want more, just make a good appeal. You know, there's an art. Before the person pledges, make a good presentation to convince them to give more money. Okay, this is a big science. Fundraising is a science. I once watched. It was very interesting. You can find it online. You go, you know, the TED Talks. Mm-hmm. TED Talks are terrible. 95% of them are mole v'godush apikorsis. Crazy. And the people who talk are you know, it's like Torah Anytime on steroids. The goyish version of Torah Anytime is TED Talks. TED, T-E-D. T-E-D. You know what TED Talks are?
No.
It's like, you know what Torah Anytime is?
Yeah.
You know what Torah Anytime is? Yeah. It's like the Goyish version of Torah Anytime.
What does TED stand for?
I don't know. I don't know what it stands for. I'm embarrassed. I don't know what it stands for. I download the app. I used to drive. I used to listen. They have all over the world. They have very famous people, and they give them usually not approximately 10 minutes. And it's done in front of a live audience. And you're invited to give a shiur, a TED, and they speak about their expertise, and some of them are phenomenal. Lately, for the last few years, the topics, and they must have like, I don't know how many thousands, okay, but it's like there's an enormous selection of what to listen to. Like I tell you, it's like mamish, the Torah Anytime, goyish version of Torah Anytime. Unfortunately, almost everything now on TED is apikorsis. They somehow manage to fill it up. The speeches, the people who talk, they're like these crazy lefties who have these crazy ideas, and they say, they always mix in crazy nonsense. But some of that stuff is really amazing. Amazing, amazing. The biggest people in their field. By the Goyim, it's like one of the biggest gedulas to be zoiche, to get an opportunity to give a TED talk. Does anyone know what I'm talking about? I can't believe it. So go online and you type in TED Talks. You download the app. When I used to drive, long drives, go to Boston, I used to go and fill up a playlist of TED Talks. And they're unbelievable. Even just some of them, the way they speak, the vocabulary, these are all professionals. So I once listened to a series of TED Talks from the top fundraisers of this world.
It's the condensed version of YatTed.
Of how to do fundraising. Okay? And there were some of the lectures. These are people who are the biggest fundraisers in the world. And they tell you their techniques. And they tell you ideas. And some things are simple. But sometimes the simple things you have to be expressed and explained to you very well. Like there's one thing that I always remember there was a woman who was a very successful fundraiser. She gave a TED talk and she said, you have to think about money. The people that you're talking to, separate them from their money. And when you're a schnorr, it's embarrassing. We look at people, you ask someone to give you money. So it's like you're asking them to give you an organ. Give me a kidney. Okay? No, like not everyone's going to give a kidney. Give me, you know, you have two legs. Give me one of your legs. Sorry? Oh yeah. Okay, you'll explain to me later. Okay. But the principle we'll talk later, okay? The principle is separate a person from their money. When a person when you ask a person for the most who look at it, you ask them to give you part of themselves. Like you really, oh, you're wearing this very nice jacket. Can you give it to me? How am I going to walk home? Oh, you have a coat? Give me your coat. Oh, you have an umbrella? Please, give me your umbrella. You're embarrassed because he's not going to walk home in the rain. Get wet. So when people come and they raise money, the attitude, the reason why people are embarrassed is because, and they don't properly make that demand, it's subconsciously and consciously, you feel like you're taking away part of a person's life. So this woman, she was very successful, she says, these very wealthy people, their money has nothing to do with them. You have to train yourself to think, there's a person, and there's a fund. They have money in a fund. It's not them. And it's nothing personal. And when you'll be able to complete in your mind, I can't do that. I can't do that.
Don't we do that? We tell people you're not giving your money. It's Hashem's money.
You can't say
we
that to them.
You and you disassociate the money from.
They don't have any Jewish attorney time. I've never come across anyone good Jewish fundraisers. But the Goyim, they have some very good techniques, and they're some very successful people, and they talk about it, and it's very interesting to see what he says. He writes over here. Once you get the money from the person, atkan. He should have given a TED talk. Once you get the money, telling you a rule of thumb, you don't ask for more. Person gives you a pledge, will probably ruin it in the future. Number two is you got one chance. You got one chance to make a good impression. Before you get the pledge, you go and koidem lochein is yagid on yoy vidaluso. He brings down from a Yerushalmi. Okay, and there's a lot of he's presenting here psychology and techniques. There's a lot. If we had over here professionals, he would read into these words different techniques and methods, and maybe you'll argue that you know what was good worked in his day and age doesn't work today. It's a different world today. It's a different lifestyle, different approach. Okay, we have to stop. Okay, let's not talk about this parsha. I want to talk about a beautiful sugya, the sugya of Koireya. In this week's parsha, we learn about Shabbos.